Good morning, everybody. I'm glad that you guys are here. You can tell that this is the first week of summer break, or word got out that I was preaching. But for those of you that are here, I'm glad. I'm just kidding. This is how it is this time of year, and I'm thankful to get to be here, thankful to get to preach God's word to you guys. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to the letter of Ephesians, and we'll be in chapter 3 this morning. You know, as a young, hip kid, not now, but when I was a young teenager, I used to, and this is a time of confession for you guys, I used to be super bored by like old hymns and stuff like that. Thankfully, God sanctified me, and now I don't listen for the beat. I listen and look at the words. I hope that you guys were so blessed by that. Those songs were just so, and have been around for years upon years, but they are so rich with the truth of gospel, and so they shine and shed so much light, at least the ones that we sang this morning. The beautiful and intricate deepness of the details, I know that was like a word salad, of our relationship with God. And that really is great and segues great into what we're going to look at this morning in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21, and talking about really what our relationship with God looks like. And really through that, we're going to see displayed greatly. We're going to see God's power. You know, as Christ followers, our desire should be to know God deeply and to experience Him fully. In the passage that we're going to look at this morning, we see that Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, the Christians in Ephesus, his desire for them is that they would experience the fullness of God. And knowing God in this way, it takes our faith past a point of head knowledge of who He is and how He loves us to a heart that understands and a heart that's experienced this on a personal level. Paul wants these people to personally experience the riches of knowing Jesus. His prayer for them is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, their faith would be strengthened. Paul understands that our flesh is weak. And when our flesh is weak, he understands that it is essential for us to depend on the strength of God, who is able to do far more than we could even imagine. So this morning, as we read that, as you see what Paul is writing to these people, this is written to us as well. That is Paul's prayer. This is what we're going to read this morning, is a prayer for these people. And his desire for their spiritual strength, for the strength in their inner being to come close in a deep relationship with God, it's the same for us this morning. So think about that as we read that this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 14, it says this: "For this reason, Paul speaking, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask, than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So at the end of chapter 3, there's really two main sections of the letter of Ephesians. The first, chapters 1 through 3, is him giving really deep theological doctrinal truths. And then the last half of that is him applying those truths. And what we see is him kind of capping this off, these doctrinal truths. And he's praying for these people that all of what he's just taught them, that this would push them into a deep spiritual relationship with God. And to give just some background, Paul in verse 14, he picks up, if you were to read all of this, it would seem like that this, you know, would be out of place. Paul in verse 14, he picks up where he left off in the last half of chapter 2, where he was talking and talked to the Gentiles, teaching to the Gentiles that they are no longer strangers and aliens, but they're rather fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That the gospel truth is not only for the Jew, but it's for everybody. It's for all people that would accept him. Paul's teaching was that the gift of salvation was for the Jew and the Gentile. As Christ followers, no matter your background, all of us are being built together as a dwelling place for God. And listen, when we come to know Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit resides in us. If you've been through any baptism talks with me or with Caleb, we always look at, Ezekiel chapter 36, and I think it's verse 26. I could be wrong about that, but in the Ezekiel 36, the verse 20 somewhere, it talks about how when we come to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, the Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to walk in His ways. He resides in us. Paul's prayer in verses 14 through 21 is that we are being built together into a dwelling place for God, that we would see and rely solely on His strength that He gives us through the Holy Spirit. His prayer is that the Christians in Ephesus and Christians all abroad, for those of us in this room, that we would have the strength and understanding of God's power and of God's love. Our first point as we kind of trek through the text this morning is we are weak and He is strong. Our first point is we are weak and He is strong. And we'll look back at verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." I love the way Paul begins this prayer. He begins this prayer by bowing his knees before the Father. His prayer for these people is that they would be strengthened and understand God's power. What better way to do that than for him to humbly, physically submit himself and bowing to the Lord and asking him to give this to these people. Paul understood that only by God's power would they understand the depth of his power, the depth of God's power, the depth of God's love, and be able to experience him fully. And listen, when we see this, this should tell us something about the author. This should tell us something about Paul. It tells us that he has experienced the mighty power of God, and he wants this for all Christians. And listen, this is some context of this. Paul is writing this letter from a jail cell. He's in prison for the sake of the gospel. He doesn't know what his next day is going to look like. He doesn't know if they're going to release him and he can go and continue to preach the gospel. He doesn't know if he wakes up the next day, if he wakes up, if they're going to cut his head off for the sake of the gospel. He has no idea. And I think it's important for us to pay attention that he, in the midst of his circumstances, negative circumstances, some would say, he would say that it was the will of God, that he was preaching and proclaiming Jesus in a jail cell, and he indeed was doing that. But even though those circumstances were there, knowing the background of Paul, and we kind of talked about this, Caleb has talked about this in the last couple of weeks, he was a persecutor of Christians. His hands had blood on them of Christians, and he was headed on the road to Damascus to do the same exact thing, and God saved his life. He has experienced the power of God. This is proof that he's experienced the power of God. And listen, if he knows the power of God, he wants other people to experience that the same way. Listen, we're no different, right? We vouch for the things that we've experienced. For me, it's mustard on a biscuit. If you've ever had mustard on a biscuit, then you know that it is the way. It's the way to do it. You guys give me a hard time all the time about doing that. But this is something that I'll go to my grave saying it's better that way than it is with jelly. And I know a couple of you have just turned me off completely. You probably won't hear another thing that I say. But listen, that's a super silly illustration. But we vouch for the things that we have experienced. And if we know something is good, then what are we going to do? We're going to go and we're going to tell people about those things. And for some of you, this is true even in your relationship with Christ, which I'm so thankful at this church. We have so many people that are so on fire for Jesus that you literally can't shut up about it. And some people may wish that you'd shut up about it, but none of us should, because we shouldn't be quiet about what God has done in our lives. We shouldn't be quiet about the amazing experience of His power that we ourselves personally have experienced. He continues in verse 15. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in your inner being." In this prayer, Paul is recognizing the sovereignty of God, the fact that He is in complete control. It says, "The Father whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." The way that he addresses God in prayer bears witness to Paul understanding that God is the ultimate authority and that he's in control of all things. It bears witness to the power that God has to strengthen his children. Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3 talks about this. Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith, and he is able to do far more than we could even imagine. Paul continues in verse 16. And he says that according, praying this, according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Just want to focus for a second. When he says according to the riches of his glory, what Paul is saying here is that according to your character, God, according to the glory that you receive, that you deserve, would you strengthen these Christians with the power of your Holy Spirit so that in the deepest sense of who they are as a person, they would know your power and have your strength, a kind of strength that can only be provided by you. This is a deep spiritual strength from God through the Holy Spirit. And you know, as we sit here this morning, as some of you sit here this morning, I imagine that as we read through this text, that you find yourself at a place of encouragement, because in some sense, and this is part of what this passage talks about, we can't on this side of eternity fully experience and fully grasp how awesome and amazing God is and all of his power. But to some sense, you have understood the power of God. You understand the power of the strength that only he can give. You likely know this because you've been in a place where you were spiritually weak. You've been in a place where you had nowhere else to go and you had absolutely nothing left. You've been at a place where your spirit was weak and only God was able to uplift your weary soul. So as you read this, man, I hope that you're encouraged to see and encouraged in knowing when you think about those times in the past, and I think of examples in my own life, and just to save for time, I won't share them, but times where I genuinely felt like I had absolutely nothing left. And specifically in this prayer, Paul's praying specifically for their spiritual strength, not necessarily their physical strength. I think it all is together, but specifically their spiritual strength. And maybe you've been at a place as you sit this morning and you're reminded today that, man, I remember that time where I needed that and God provided me that. Or maybe you sit here this morning and you say, I need that every single day. I love what we just sung. It's every hour. I need thee every hour. And God is the only one who has the power to provide that type of strength. Paul desires for the Holy Spirit to work in the Ephesians. He wants God to work in their spiritual lives in great power. Power that doesn't come from mere emotions, but rather humble prayer, which is exactly what we see in Paul's prayer here. He humbly bows. If you look at verse 15, he humbly bows himself before the Lord. And I think that there's something to be said about Paul's posture of prayer. Literally, physically bowing himself in submission to the Lord to say, God, you are the only one that has the power to hear the requests that I make on the behalf of these Christians, to give them the strength that only you can give that comes from your power. Verse 17, he says, so that, what is the reason for all this? Verse 17, he tells us, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 17, talking about being rooted and grounded in love, and specifically the first part of Christ dwelling in us. And remember, this kind of points back to the end of chapter 2 when he's talking about the household of God, right? As Christians, Christ already dwells within us. Paul's not requesting that he would for the first time come and do that. Paul's desire in this passage is for growth in faith rather than just growth in knowledge. And don't mishear me here. Both are important, right? Paul wants these Christians to experience a deep-rooted relationship with Christ that constantly changes the deepest sense of who they are as individuals. And listen, knowing who God is, having a knowledge of who he is, that absolutely goes hand in hand. But sometimes we can fill our brains with so much knowledge that maybe we forget to connect what's here to what needs to be here in our heart. It's a head and a heart. It's a connection of those two things, and that's Paul's prayer. He wants these people to know just as he does, and it's so hard to explain this truthfully, but you know this. If you know the Lord, you know this deep connection, but he wants that to continue to deepen. It isn't enough to just know about Jesus and how amazing he is. Many know, yet many never have truly experienced that in such a way that transforms who they are. Again, this goes back to the head and the heart of knowing that God is good, knowing that God desires to save me, knowing that my sin separates me from him, but knowing with your head and your heart and in your inner being, in the deepest sense of who you are, knowing that God loves you.
That is Paul's desire for these people, is that they would know that. Christ dwelling in us means that he is at the center of our existence. And listen, we serve a powerful God. God's power is displayed greatly, most greatly, I would say, in our weakness. And the lyrics to a song that you guys have heard 150 times, probably so much that you probably tell your kids to turn it off or let's listen to a different song. But the song, Jesus Loves Me, I think that the first verse of this song rings so true specifically about what we're talking about tonight. The first verse it says, and I will not sing this, I'll just read it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Listen here. They are weak, but he is strong. We, like little children, left to our own flesh, will always be weak. We are in desperate need of the strength that only God can provide. Paul knew this. This is why this is a part of his prayer for these Christians. In this prayer specifically, this is not necessarily talking about the physical strength, but rather the spiritual strength, a strength reliant solely on God's power, a type of power that surpasses all that we are able to comprehend, a type of power that transforms who we are at our very core, and a type of power that is rooted in the love of Christ. And when we read behind the text of the reasons why these authors are writing what they are, is to prepare them for something. Now, whether that's great persecution that they will face, or whether that's just the trials that come with life, is to be deeply rooted in Christ. And that's our second point this morning, to be rooted in love. To be rooted in love. Verses 17, in the second half of verse 17, it says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love the second half of verse 17 when Paul speaks of us being rooted and grounded in love. This may be one of my favorite illustrations in all of the Bible. The imagery that he gives is a tree and its roots going deep into the ground. And if you've ever seen, or anybody that does dirt work, if you've ever dug 50 foot beside a tree, you can tell that even then those roots spread out way far. They go to the left and to the right all around the tree, and then they even go deep. And the purpose for this is so that when winds come, they just won't blow over. And the importance of that is to deepen the roots. And I think that the illustration here that Paul wants us to see is giving us that illustration, something that every single person in this room can understand, because we know what it's like for, you've seen in tornadoes that we've had, you've seen these huge trees that have been blown over, and it almost leaves a swimming pool size hole in the ground because of how deep the roots are. Paul wants the readers of this letter to grow in their understanding of God's love. He wants them to know the depth of his love. Being rooted and grounded in love means that we remain closely to Jesus, growing in spiritual maturity, growing to know and love Jesus more and more. And as we grow to know Jesus more and more, the roots of our love for him will continue to deepen. Just as a tree, when it has the nutrients that it needs, it's going to continue to grow. It's going to grow this way, and it's going to grow deep. It's going to grow deep with its roots. And it's the same in our relationship with Christ. As we continue to grow in Christ, our faith in him is strengthened. Love is at the center of all of this. Because God loved us, his creation, he sent Jesus so that we could be reconciled to him. I think one of the greatest examples, and maybe one of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture, is John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world." Because he loves you, because he loves me, he sent his Son so that we could have a relationship with him and to be rooted in that same love, to be rooted in love with him. John 13:34-35, it says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love." This is our response to God's love in us. This is our response. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So when we read this, when it talks about being rooted and grounded in love, being rooted and grounded in love means that love should absolutely exude from our character. I think one of the greatest marks, I know, One of the greatest marks of a true Christian can be seen in the way that they love people. Loving God is loving people. Just as God loves, we are to love others. Paul continues his prayer in verse 18, asking God on behalf of all Christians that by his power they would understand just how amazing God's love is. It says in verse 18, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, that's every single Christian, not just the people he's writing to, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of his love. Paul includes in this every physical dimension of the extent of God's love. And listen, this is the aspect of God's love that you and I cannot comprehend. And kudos to Paul for trying to get us to understand that. Paul, even in himself, didn't understand that deeply. We will one day when God returns, when Jesus returns and he takes us home and we are reconciled with him in a place in heaven where sin is no more, we'll understand that. We will be able to understand that, but he gives every physical dimension to explain the extent of God's love. He does the same thing in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. It says this, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That absolutely is an amazing love. That's a love that you and I cannot fully grasp, but that is a love that is freely gifted to us if we would accept Jesus as our Savior. And I hope for the Christian in here this morning that you would rejoice alongside me in knowing, for as much as we know and have experienced of God's love, that our only reaction to that would be to give him all the praise and the glory that he deserves. And also, for that love to reside in us, but also that love comes out of us and that we love his creation just as he's loved us. That verse, along with what we've read this morning, it proves that God's love is different than anything that we've ever known. And in modern slang, it just hits different, right? I don't know if that's still a thing that kids say, but it was modern when I was modern, I guess. It's different. It's different than anything. There truly is nothing that we can compare it to. And truth is, on this side of eternity, we're not going to be able to fully comprehend the depth of God's love. However, as we grow in godliness, as we grow to know him deeper, we will grow in knowing the depths of God's love. And listen, there are some ways that I think that we can see that as we grow in our relationship with Christ, as our life changes, we see God's love in a different light. I'm a new father. I love it. I'm so thankful for that. And I think something, the greatest consensus that I have come to, that I tell people all the time, is that, you know, I've never understood God's love in the way that I do now that I have a daughter, now that I have a child. I mean, it's amazing that you can love such a little individual that will grow into, I'm sure, if it's my child, a disrespectful human being that I'm sure I'm going to have to whoop her butt. But it truly is amazing. And people used to tell me that all the time. And before I had kids, and there's no way for me to possibly understand that. But that's a way that God has shown me his love in the way that I have a love for my own child. Or even for some of our people here this morning that have had the opportunity, and maybe not just to travel overseas to Eswatini or anywhere just across out of what we see as normal in America, but being able to go and to worship with other people that love Jesus. That is a depth of God's love to know that, hey, these people thousands and thousands of miles across the ocean love Jesus just like I do. Their life looks totally different. Their circumstances are way different than mine. But we are just alike and have the greatest thing together in common, and that is our love for Jesus. And that is understanding some of those things. There's many different illustrations to that and many different examples of how God deepens those things. And that's just a couple. But before Paul closes in prayer in verses 20 and 21, he pretty much sums up his prayer for these people by praying that ultimately they would be filled with the fullness of God. That's what he says in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul sums up his prayer for these people by praying that they would be filled with the fullness of God, knowing and growing in their love for their Savior, depending on his power to strengthen them, to persevere until the end, to be rooted and grounded in love. And when we talk about being rooted and grounded in love, really think about the root system of a tree and how it goes deep and how it goes wide. And think of that and relate that to our relationship with Christ. And that is how God wants us to be rooted in him and to be grounded in his love and allowing God's power through his love to continually transform us, to transform them to their very core. And listen, this is Paul's prayer for us, just as it was for the people that he was writing to. Paul didn't know that he would be writing to a church in Bailey, Mississippi, but he says to all saints that they would all saints experience the all physical dimensions, the breadth, the height, the length, the depth of God's love, that we would experience that. That's his prayer for us. The strength of God's power and the depth of his love is something that we're not able to fully grasp. As we've seen in this passage, Paul's prayer for all Christians is that they would continue to grow in knowing his power and knowing his love. Absolutely none of that is possible without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This passage should cause us to be in awe of just how big and just how amazing of a God that we serve. It should cause us to change the way that we view God and how we view ourselves. It's complete dependence to know that he is more powerful than we are. When we try to do things on our own, when we are weak and we try to fix those things, to understand that you have a loving Father that longs to give you the strength of his power to make it through those things, to uplift your spirit. My encouragement to you this morning is that you would allow this truth, that you would allow the truth of God's power to point you to glorifying God, to just praising his name. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if that means that you just fall flat on your face and you just say, thank you, God, for being so amazing. Thank you, God, for giving me the strength so oftentimes when I am weak. This morning, you may be sitting here on E. You may be empty. You may be spiritually weak today. I hope that by what we've read that you would be uplifted in knowing that the Father, and this is so important, and I love that Paul inserts this. You want to talk about how to pray to God, a good model of that, another good model in Scripture? Come and read Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. He says, for this reason I bow my knees, physically submitting himself to the Lord before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Man, that's a big God. From whom every family in heaven on earth is named, this God, this big of a God, your Savior, your Lord, he will be the one that will provide you for strength. And if that's you this morning, if you are struggling this morning, if your spirit is weak, do what Paul did. Ask him to give you strength, the strength that only he can give. This morning, this passage may bring up memories of a time when you've been spiritually weak. And through the power of God, he gave you the strength that you needed, the strength that only he could give. If that's you this morning, then praise God for that. Because it's likely that there will be another time, another instance in your life where you will have to depend on that same thing. If that's you, then I encourage you to encourage the brother or sister in Christ that is weak, that you know is weak. Encourage them and tell them to look to the Father who is able to give strength. God's power is beyond anything that we could ever imagine, beyond anything that we could ever comprehend. I think that we can look at this and apply this in a way that we do exactly what Paul is doing. We pray. And I don't know if this is true for everybody. This is definitely true for me. Man, I have always understood the importance of prayer. But it really hasn't been until recently in my life where I've really prayed to God. And just for the lack of confusion, we won't get into the depth of that, but I think that it's so important. And sometimes it seems like such the easy church answer. So what do? We pray. Read your Bible. Those are the best things that we could possibly do. But what Paul is doing here, and I want you to pay attention, that his circumstances are not in his favor necessarily for his own comfort, yet he is praying for these people. And if you go and you look at the letter of James, then you know that through trial, through our weakness, and through suffering, there's something to be brought from that. God gives us the strength to go through, and from that, our faith is strengthened. It says that it builds within us steadfastness. See the example in Paul and what it means to be rooted and grounded in love. Look at his prayer for the people despite his circumstances. He didn't know what the next day looked like for him. Instead of him wallowing in self-pity for where he's at, he is praying for other people. He is ministering, sharing the gospel to the people that he is with. Take that example of what it looks like to be rooted and grounded in love. And the only response to being rooted and grounded in love, in the love of Christ, is to love others. And I hope this morning, it should be, your desire to know God deeper, to let the roots of his love continue to grow in you. And what does that look like? You may ask, what does that look like? That's to be in his word. If you wonder if God speaks to you, if you feel like you're in a place where I just feel like God's not speaking to me, his word is how he speaks to us. His word is how he speaks to us. And listen, that's something that I struggle with. I'm a very feeling-oriented type of person. If I don't feel some type of way, then for me, it's not true. But I do know something that is true, and it's not my feelings. It's the truth of God's word. To be in his word. Invest in Christian community where you're around other believing brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, I know that this is coming from a pastor that tells you to do all these things and to be involved in all these things of the church. It's not just so that we can add you to a number on a roll so that we can tell people at other churches that fellowship's really growing. The reason is because we know personally the importance of being invested in spiritual community with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go and read God's word. Read what he says about that. If you want to grow in godliness, it's more than just doing it by yourself. Go and do it with your church family. We have opportunities to do that. Small groups, come and be involved. It's uncomfortable. Who gives a rip? Get over it. Do you desire to be close to God, or do you not desire to be close to God? The door is wide open for that. Experiencing the fullness of God is not only for a select group of people. It's for everyone. This was Paul's message to the Gentiles. This is why God called Paul to go and preach to the Gentiles, because it's not just for the Jew. It's for the Gentiles. It's for every single person. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture here in just a second that says that. And listen, experiencing him and his fullness is available to you. If you know Jesus, then the door is wide open. As we close, if you don't know Jesus, the door is still wide open. The invitation is clear. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Please, please pay attention to these words. It says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." The door is wide open. The invitation is clear. The ransom has been paid by the blood of Jesus, the perfect, the only perfect, and willing sacrifice, so that you could have a relationship with Jesus. You may listen to what we're talking about this morning and you say, "I don't even know what you're talking about this deep, spiritual, strengthened relationship with Jesus in my inner being," because maybe it hasn't transformed you to your very core. Maybe you only know that God loves you and you only know that your sin separates you, but maybe you miss it here to know that God longs to save you. Look at what we just read. Verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, who desires, this bears witness to say that God desires that you come to know Jesus. And you may say, "Nah, not me." He says, "You, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man." I love how he says this, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the man who gave himself as a ransom for all. I invite you this morning to place your faith and your trust in Jesus. He doesn't give you a
a list of do's and don'ts to make sure that that your salvation is contingent on. He asked that you would surrender your life to him and let him be steering the ship. Let him be the owner of the home where he dwells. Let him be the center of your existence. Accept him as your Savior this morning. And as we close this morning, I want to read and I want to close the same way that Paul closed this prayer. Verse 20, he says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So for the individual this morning that thinks that there's no way, read verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." He can do more than you ask or think. He knows the prayer of your heart before you even voice it to him. He is able to do far more, and it's all according to the power, his power, that he's able to do those things. And our response to that is, to him be the glory in the church here and in Christ Jesus as individuals throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To my fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, my prayer is that you would experience the fullness of God, knowing the strength of his power and the depth of his love.